and welcome to the Tony Talks podcast. I am your host, Tony, and we have a very special guest with me today, my father, who's also a Tony. Dad, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Tony. Looking forward to it.
And actually, we're going to actually do a reverse thing here. He's actually going to interview me, but I may ask some questions about him as well if we can get to that top. If we can get to those topics. So, Dad, I'll let you take it away.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate the opportunity to do this. As you know, you and I have watched a lot of sports over the years, and it's always been an interest of mine, as you know, and you've developed it at an early age. And I think it's a kind of a good podcast to kind of get some of your thoughts out there, because you've seen a lot in your life, even though you've only been around fairly short period of time compared to me. The sports scene, and the Baltimore sports scene in particular, has had some great sports memories over the last 30 years. So let me just start off with a couple, general questions. First of all, when did you become first interested in sports, and what were the first sports you started to watch?
Okay, well, I took this question, so probably the first sports memory that I have is back in 1996, I remember going to the Super Bowl party at Uncle Tim's house and watching the Packers and Patriots. I don't remember much. I do remember, you know, at that point, I think I was more just, you know, hey, you know, come along with me, see if you like it. And but I remember that Super Bowl. I remember Drew Bledsoe and those Patriots. But I think around 1997 was when I started in general with sports. That is probably the year I remember the most about. I remember watching John Elway win his first Super Bowl at Tim's as well. We might have even gone there for the 98 one against the Falcons. I'm not exactly sure. I remember Jordan and the Bulls sweeping the Bullets that year. And, then the Yankees continuing their late 90s dynasty. In the mid to late 90s. And the three sports that I follow the most were baseball, basketball, and football. What I don't have on my notes, though, but I wanted to just mention a little bit, was I had a little interest in hockey at that point, but that lasted for maybe like 3 to 4 years at the most. I even had a couple of hockey games, I believe, on the N64, but that never really reached the peak that the other three reached.
I think one of the sports you also had an early interest in was horse racing. If you recall, you started watching horse racing with me at a very young age as well.
You know, I forgot to put that down there. I forgot to include that. Yes, horse racing has been, although not like a general fan, but once the Triple Crown comes, I've watched all three of those races probably since 97 with Silver Charm. And And I remember in 1998, I believe it was, we were at somebody's heart. It was like, I want to say it was like Mary Ernst or something. No, it was the DeHart's place, I believe it was, or something. And we watched Real Quiet lose by a nose at the Belmont, I believe it was. So, horse racing was huge for me because I always wanted to see a Triple Crown winner. And I eventually did, actually. I saw, I believe it was two in the last, 4 years, 5 years? But yes, horse racing has, I totally forgot about that. Thank you, Dad.
And I think another sporting event that you liked a lot pretty early was the Olympics. If you recall, you started watching the Olympics at a pretty young age as well.
Well, that actually, let's talk about more about that later, because I have notes on that when we get to a different topic. So, but I have notes about that later. So,
okay, so you started watching sports pretty young, and we started taking you to the different games and stuff, and you played some sports and things of that sort recreationally. And one of the things I think about when I think of my life, some of my first sports heroes and why, I've got certain ones we can talk about here on a different podcast, but what were your first sports heroes and why did you like them?
Well, for me, it's not the term hero. I didn't really have a hero per se. I just had favorite players, really. I was never the kid that had all the posters and everything and, who grew up like that. But I'll say, like everyone else in the late 90s, who will probably say Michael Jordan. And, you know, he was, even though he was entering his late career, he was still probably, he had the most impact on me. And, you know, I think everyone my age and, you know, around my age wanted to be Michael Jordan, you know, and we all did the, you know, we all knew the tongue out when he dribbled. We all knew the fadeaway jump shot he had. And I think even though his career was kind of over toward the end when I was paying attention, as I grew up, he meant more and more to me, I think. And if you remember, I got that Michael Jordan kind of, it wasn't a box set, but it was a combo DVD where it had like five little documentaries about Michael Jordan. It was this thing that opened up. It had like three different, it had three things to open up on, and it had, I think it had three discs, and it had these like little mini documentaries about like an hour or so. And that really showed me how magical he was. And just, you know, like the 90s was Jordan's era, even though, you know, when I got older, obviously it became LeBron James. But Michael Jordan was this like this magical person. And what some people may not know, and you may not know, is that he wasn't even allowed in video games for a while. And it's not that it wasn't allowed. You know, they have to make sure that they're licensing and everything, all that you know, business stuff. And for those old NBA lives, he actually went by roster player. And we all knew it was supposed to be Michael Jordan, but he couldn't have his name on there. But it was still Michael Jordan as this guy, roster player. So, you know, I would say Michael Jordan, as you'll get to, you know, I enjoyed a lot of the tall players in the NBA, and I enjoyed Randy Johnson as a pitcher in baseball. But I wouldn't call them heroes. I think, you know, those are the people that kind of like, I know he stood out to me as this, I mean, you know, a 6'10" baseball player, you know, you rarely see that these days, who could throw 100 miles an hour. You know, he was a, as the NBA people call some of these players today, he was a unicorn, I think. You know, he was a unicorn because you don't see many people that tall, that fast with his hair, and be able to keep control, you know. I would say Michael Jordan, Randy Johnson, you know, the tall NBA players, you know, Shaq, David Robinson, those kind of people. So,
yeah, it's no doubt that there's a lot of different players that came along in the 90s and the early 2000s, and certainly Randy Johnson and Michael were both very good, you know, models in their sports. And I think, you know, one of the things I've seen that's changed over time is the fact that you can get sports information from a lot of different places. I mean, as you know, I've always been a big newspaper guy. Even in today's world, I read, yep, still read the paper, newspaper, as well as about 20 newspapers online, or at least it seems like it sometimes. But you know, back in when you were growing up, besides the newspaper and the news, you could only get it through cable. But today, of course,
SportsCenter,
right? SportsCenter, and today, you know, your life has kind of been a trajectory along with the growth of the internet and of course social media. So now you not only have official places to get sports information, you have a lot of unofficial sports information that comes out of a lot of different sources, and you can of course get information almost immediately. So I know you look at a lot of different social media, and you also have a lot of different podcasts and other things you listen to. So what are kind of your favorite places to get information or watch about sports, and why have you decided to use those particular sites?
Well, this is where things get interesting, and this is where I think people will see the difference between, you know, how the baby boomers got their news and how people in my generation get their news and everything. And yes, now I used to be a paper guy, as everyone knows. Even people who will listen to this podcast probably will even know. I mean, when I started at HCC, I believe there was some times where I brought the paper there. So, you know, I vaguely remember that. But recently with the smartphone age and everything, there are two ways that I get my news: notifications and Twitter. Now, notifications are, you know, pretty simple. You know, you get you have an app installed and you can choose with ESPN. My two probably that I get are probably ESPN and Bleacher Report. And you can really dive down deep and kind of, get you can get team notifications. You can even get player notifications if it but it's more the player notifications are more meant for like fantasy. But for me, if I just want to know what a certain player is doing or something, you can sign up for that. You can get like game start notifications every quarter, every you can really dive down deep. And so that's how I've been keeping up with a lot of sports if I don't watch them. And then Twitter is the real I have in my notes, Twitter is something special when you follow the right people. And I have a lot of people I follow. I have many players, reporters, people from the entertainment industry who are sports fans. And you can literally, like, if again, you have to follow the right people, but if you do, you can literally watch a game on Twitter. Like, I know me, I have, and my friends know this as well, I have a weird anxiety when it comes to like LeBron James, important games. Like, I will, like, I just don't want to, like, I don't want to watch him fail, and so a lot of times I wouldn't actually watch him, but I would go on Twitter. And if you there's a way now where you can actually choose between chronological and non-chronological in on Twitter. And if you go the chronological way, you can literally like you can see things happen at in real time. And I'll give an example. Like so say Stephen Curry is heating up and he's on fire, he's hitting threes, he may get 50, he may get 60, you never know. You can see multiple people, and maybe sports reporters, maybe people from the entertainment industry. Like everyone's like Curry, and oh my God, what a three! Oh my, and not only that, you'll see if someone hits a close to like half court shot, you can see that replay almost immediately. It's on Twitter immediately almost. But for me, the most exciting time for Twitter is NBA free agency. This has been something that I've been in this is more of Tony from the old sport like the old sports fanatic, the this is still peak sports Tony is the NBA free agency stuff. So what I'll do is in recent in most years free agency in the NBA starts around July 1st, I believe. And I will go on Twitter and I will make sure I have notifications for both Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams, he's one of the newer guys, but he's up there with Woj, and they'll give you rumors, they'll give you all kinds of good stuff. And my first memory of this was I remember back in 2010, and I believe I had yeah this was well, no let's see when did I get the iPhone? I got the iPhone in like July of that year, I believe. So yes, I had the iPhone, and I was and of course as you may remember that summer was when LeBron went to the Heat. And there was, that was probably when free agency became really interesting. And I remember actually being at the 4th of July parade, and I remember being on Twitter during that. Like, I remember just walking, I don't know if it was with Angela's friends or whatnot, but I remember scrolling through just seeing what was happening. Because, I mean, it was like he had a meeting with the Bulls, he had a meeting with the Knicks, he had, you just didn't know. And also, a couple of years ago, back in 2019, when the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes was on, that was also very exciting. Everyone thought he was going to the Lakers, and I believe it was after July 4th, maybe like July 8th or 9th, something like that. I stayed up late as I usually do, and all of a sudden I get two notifications almost back to back of Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers and Paul George to the Clippers in a trade that was announced at the same time. No one knew Paul George was involved. And it was like all this information at once, where if you hadn't had Twitter, you would have to wait for the next day to see it on SportsCenter or read in the newspaper. And I remember at that time I texted Mark to tell him the news. I said, "Oh, you're probably asleep or something, but did you see what happened?" And no, he wasn't asleep. He was at the casino actually that night, and he had just heard about it. To me that was a very special moment. It's like, oh my God, this just happened, It's very exciting to hear about these things in the moment that they come in the moment. And I know we won't discuss this on the podcast, but I know Twitter can be really bad for some things. But for sports, though, it can be insanely exciting, and you can get the news right when it happens, and there's nothing like it to me. So,
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I notice
yes.
you're getting a little bit of static sometimes when you're talking, Tony. I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh, am
Yeah,
I?
I'm not sure quite sure what the reason is, but I just wanted to give a little bit of feedback there. But yeah, I think.
Oh, my AirPods might be slipping out of my ears. I don't know. But
Okay. So and the other type of medium I enjoy a lot is podcasts. Is there certain sports
yes.
podcasts that you like to listen to?
Well, right now, actually, I believe I only have one, and that's the Bill Simmons podcast. As you know, I've been a fan of Bill Simmons for years, probably since the late 2000s. And he covers all sports. You know, he covers sports, pop culture, and he has really built the Ringer into an incredible media a company. And they have tons of podcasts. Like if you have a topic that you like, there's a podcast for it on the Ringer News Network. There is one podcast that I did used to listen to, and I want to give a shout out to this podcast because it was very informational. But it was just too much though for me. It was the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. And I think everyone knows Buster Olney. He works for ESPN, and it was there's a lot of singular sport podcasts you can listen to, but I found his to be very. You know, he would get people from ESPN to talk. He would occasionally there'll be some athletes, but the problem with that was they did it every day, and they were probably around like 40 to 50 minutes long. And so, if you have other podcasts you're listening to, it's really hard to keep up. And I was constantly being 2 weeks or more behind, and it was beginning to feel more stressful than it was fun. And so I made a decision a couple I believe it was in 2019 to unfollow that podcast. But if you like baseball, they actually they have really good interviews. Again, around the trade deadline, it was fun to listen to, 'cause, they would have trade rumors, who might get traded and whatnot. And because there's a lot of things in baseball, that you may not know. There's players you may not know. There's if you don't really, if you don't follow it that closely, that podcast will definitely help you with information. So I'll say right now it's only those two, but there could be something that pops up, like maybe Bill Simmons is on, like, Zach Lowe's podcast or something, or where I'll occasionally listen to an episode or something like that. So
Good, good. Yeah, I mean it's a really growing area, and they keep getting more and more different information sources. And as you said, one of the fun things about it is to find out information as quickly as possible. Of course, a lot of people use it for gambling, or they use it for different types of fantasy leagues and things of that sort. But even
yeah, there's gambling podcasts, and there's it's funny because there actually is a gambling podcast that one of Bill Simmons, that's a cousin Sal, who actually is Jimmy Kimmel's like real cousin. Actually, I never knew. I was always wondering if they're kidding when they said cousin Sal, but no, he's actually Jimmy's cousin. And Simmons just called him cousin Sal because that's but he's very into gambling, and he just actually released a book about gambling, actually. And then there's a as actually I was telling you a couple weeks ago, is sports cards are getting back into being more talked about, and there's now a sports cards podcast. So there's a podcast for every
Yep.
topic.
Oh
So
yeah. Yep. And everybody's out there just like us today. So I'm going
yep.
to switch a little bit. As a Baltimore guy and a Baltimore Millennium, you've seen a lot of different sports events. And of course, Baltimore's had some great teams over the years. Years ago, we had the Baltimore Colts, and we got the Ravens. We've had the Orioles for many years. And of course, at one point, we had the Baltimore Bullets, which are now the Washington Wizards. Most of us here in the Baltimore area are Maryland sports fans. And of course, we've had some great athletes come out of the Baltimore area as well. So I think, one of the things that's been interesting in your life is, you've seen things in a very short period of time that I didn't see over my whole life until, Yeah, after you were born, like Maryland basketball winning a title, or even the Ravens' success. But when I was growing up, the Orioles were a great team, and of course, you haven't seen a whole lot of Orioles moments since you've been around, because it's
Nope.
been mostly a downward thing. But as you said, you started watching sports when you were, shortly before you were 10 years old. But what is your favorite Baltimore sports memory? And certainly, you've seen a lot over the years.
Yeah, so I think I'll have to probably go with the Ravens' first Super Bowl win. It was I was in eighth grade at the time, and I think football is really where you get the biggest celebration, the biggest stuff. They have the best playoffs. And actually, I'll say a little bit more about the Ravens in another topic that you have down here. But it was like the It was like my whole time at Resurrection during that time. It was like it was all Raven-fied. I remember they had decorations up. We had a Ravens popcorn raffle, which I did not win, unfortunately. The plan was for me and Eric to combine money and try to win that for us, and so we could because he was he actually well he actually came over for two of the games. I'll try to remember where we were for each of the games of the playoffs. I think the Denver game we w actually I forgot we faced Denver in the first round, so I don't remember much about that game. I assume we watched it at home. I know the Titans game. I actually had Eric over, and if you remember, he actually was a Titans fan at that point. I don't know why. I'll have to ask him about that. But and I still have pictures of him. He brought a Titans hat, and we were kind of teasing about all that back in the day. And of course, the Raiders game was the AFC Championship game, which we actually mentioned in one of our calls recently, because that's when I spilled the Coke on Uncle Fred's rug. And so that was the moment from that game. And the Super Bowl was back at home, and I had Eric and my friend Anthony Joyo over during that time. And I also have the newspapers for that Super Bowl still. I believe I know I have the Sun. I don't know if I have the Post as well or what, but the Ravens was, I think your first big sports memory is always, I think, the best. I think if the Ravens had won, not this year, but back in 2019, if they had won, when we went 14-2, I think that would have been special. Because I was noticing things that year that I think if we had gone through the playoffs, I think would have been really special for our town. And it would have been, and it's funny because say we had won that Super Bowl, we would have had a parade probably right before COVID. And so maybe it's like, okay, well, maybe it's glad we didn't, but I think it would have been really special for that. And I think the Ravens, I mean, the Maryland one was great, but I don't remember much about that. And then of course the Ravens won that when they won the second time. I was at Towson, and we actually watched the game at I believe it was TGIF Fridays, because I believe our we had like a we had a random power outage, I think, that day at Towson or something, and we couldn't watch the game at our apartment. And I think and then of course after they won, both Ari, me and or Evan, Ari and I went to the parade, and it was very cold, but I have a lot of photos and videos from that. So that was a fun memory. But I'd probably have to say the best was probably the first one.
Good, good. So, given that, who's your favorite athlete of all time from Baltimore?
Well, here's where as I said, I was going to bring the Olympics back up again, and this may be a surprise to you, maybe not, but I think I'm going to go with Michael Phelps.
Not surprised.
Not surprised. Okay. He not only did something for our area, but he is known internationally, and he's from our area, and he won 8 gold medals, and all his swims were must watches. Even well, of course, there's sometimes, like, because of the time difference in these places, you had to watch them later. But if you could watch them live, you had to watch them live. And And what I have here is that most people don't know is that I actually learned how to swim
That's
by watching
right.
the Olympics.
Exactly.
Yes, the 2000 Olympics in Sydney was where it all started. That was the first Olympics I watched. I vaguely remember like Michael Johnson in 96, but that's I don't remember like I don't think I watched that live or anything. So those Olympics I watched 15-year-old Phelps, Ian Thorpe, Peter van den Hogenbaan, Inga de Bruin, like all these names that people were like, how do you know these people, but yeah, for some reason I was able to watch the strokes in the pool on TV and copy them in real life. Now I didn't copy those fast times. You would not see me breaking world records, but I did learn the strokes, and that was cool. And plus, I actually met Michael Phelps in person back in, I think it was either 2008 or 2009, when his mom had a book coming out, and she was at the Barnes Noble doing book signings. And she wasn't too happy that I didn't buy her book, but she did sign my Michael Phelps DVD. And Michael made a surprise appearance there. And for any of those who are listening who have me on Facebook, you can still find those shaky videos. Watching, no, I think it's one video. Somewhere on my Facebook, I still have. It was before the iPhone day, so I think I believe I had brought like a regular camera there, and it wasn't really the most stable camera, but there's some footage of that. And yeah, I mean, Michael Phelps, I mean, like, I want to say Ray Lewis, but I think he might be second in there, I think. He meant a lot to our city and our town, and I know a lot of non-Raven fans, they go after him for other reasons, but for us, he's our guy, and he was very motivational. So I think you always knew the Ravens were going to show up for a big game when Ray Lewis was there.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. So I think I know how you're going to answer this next question. What do you like? We
Yes.
have different sports here in Baltimore, but I'm sure there's one sport, one team that you like above the rest, and I'll let you answer that one and why.
Yeah, so as I said, that was I was gonna say more about the Ravens later, and this is where it's coming in. The Ravens, I think football in general, I think because of the way the schedule is set out, there's it's once a week, so you can literally you can literally don't have that day alone for football, and that's a lot of people do. Like they have their they people who have multiple TVs, they'll have every game on, but the Ravens are an event here in Baltimore. There's some Ravens themed bars, as I said, either I try to make the Ravens games like an event, either at over at your place or pre-COVID, at the bars, and I have a lot of memories of like I remember back when the during the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl. I should probably had more fun during the playoff games than actually during the Super Bowl because I enjoyed well, even though I don't like the bar itself, but I remember you, me, and some of the uncles were at the what was the place called,
Kelsey's.
Dad? The no.
Yeah,
Oh, was it Kelsey's?
that
I
was
thought it was the
Kelsey's, yeah.
that's oh that's right, we did go to Kelsey's. I thought it was the other place. The yeah. You're right, it was Kelsey's. You're right. We went to Kelsey's, yes. We went those for I believe it was for all three games, maybe it was for two of them, I don't remember, but I really enjoyed that. And apparently I was looking in my phone the other day for some videos and everything, and actually I saw a video back from when we were celebrating one of the victories there. And it's when you're at the bars and everything, like if you're rooting for the same team, like that person's your friend. It doesn't matter who they are, they're your friend. You high five them and everything. And actually although I'll say in person, going to games in person, I'll have to say the Orioles though. I mean, I've only been to one Raven game or no, two Raven games in my life, but the Orioles, it's always just like a great atmosphere. Nothing like being at the yard. you know, nothing like a $12 beer, you know. you know, hopefully we can experience that soon. But I know you have a similar question after this, which I will kind of expand on on this topic. So, but
Yeah,
I'll let
because
you ask
one of
that question.
the big things that you and I did right before the pandemic hit, we had the courtside seats at the Wizards games, which was a really enjoyable time. And of course, the week after that, the entire league went on lockdown, as well as the rest of the countries. And over the past year, you know, we haven't seen a lot of people at live sporting events for the most part. And Baltimore, you know, was having some trouble with getting fans even before this, because you know, the Oriole attendance was down because of a number of factors, one of which, of course, is the team, the Ravens, some of the attendance.
You're stealing
Yeah,
my
but
talking
there
point
were
there, but that's
some
okay.
you know, there was some loss of fans with the Ravens, somewhat because of the you know, the kneeling at the national anthem. And so now we have a pandemic, and of course, you know, people are going to be slowly returning to normal over the next 6 or so months. So what do you think of this sports here? Do you think people are going to be eager to go back in person, or you think they've gotten so accustomed to not going to sporting events that they won't go to them like they did before? And especially I'm talking more
Well,
specifically about Baltimore, not just other cities.
Well, as I said, you kind of stole one of my talking points, but I actually think it's gonna be fine. I don't think, I mean, you know, maybe less people from like the baby boomers, maybe it's more like millennials going out. I don't know. But I don't think there's I and maybe at first there might be some, but I really don't think there's gonna be that. I think fans will come out, you know. But as you said with the Orioles though, that would be my talking point for this topic was, is I think, you know, as you mentioned, they didn't really have great attendance even before the pandemic. So, and one of the jokes that people were doing a couple weeks ago when it was announced that I believe they're gonna have what, like 11,000 fans or something like that. And that's kind of like what they've been. That's usually their non-opening day regular attendance, you know, or you know, close to it, you know, give a couple thousand, I guess. I mean, you know, it'll probably feel like a normal Orioles game this year, probably. Now, I mean, obviously there won't be the normal opening day crowd, which is usually when people when it's usually almost, you know, fully packed, and then with the Ravens, you know, I don't think I mean, you know, maybe there's a few, but I mean, I really don't think there's gonna be. I think fans are gonna be packed when they're allowed. I know that. I know this isn't a political podcast, but as you saw, you know, once Joe Biden won the election, you saw, you know, even people who should be, you know, who should be for all the social distancing and everything. You saw them celebrating out in the streets, you know, like it was like there's no pandemic. So I don't think people will have any issue. I mean, you know, as I said, there might be some people who don't, maybe, or people who just don't get like season tickets again or something, like Uncle Fred. I don't know what he's doing, but you know, I don't think it's going to be that much difference. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I'm the same guy who said that I thought I'd be back in the office last June, and you know, that didn't
Right.
happen. So, but I don't, you know, I think there's going to be like maybe like minimal difference, but I think for the Ravens, I think, you know, it'll be, you won't notice, you know. I think if there's, you know, it'll be like normal, I think,
Okay, well, I'll
when
be
it can
checking
be.
in a few months and see if your prediction's right. By the way, we're still getting a lot of static, so I just wanted to let you know that. So I'm not sure what's going, but
Not on my
when you
side, but
talk, I'm getting a fair amount of static. So I don't know what the reason is, but just to let you know that.
we'll see how it sounds.
Getting back to another sport, and not and and the question I had sent you, but I'm going to expand on a little bit. College sports in general. I mean, you know, when you were younger, and much younger, when Maryland had the great teams back in the early 2000s with Juan Dixon, Steve Blake, and others. you were very interested in it for a number of years. You and your uncle and his son and myself, we went out to Maryland football games. So we had about,
Oh, man.
4 or 5 years we went to those games. And you had a fair amount of interest in college sports. When you were at Towson, you did go to some Towson games. You had some interest in that, but now
Oh,
you
yeah,
don't
with all
seem
the
to have
games,
any
yeah.
interest in or very little interest in college sports at all. Is there a reason why, and especially Maryland, or you're just too tied up with other things? So what do you think? Because you used to be a pretty good college sports fan.
Yeah, that's, this is the question that I was that I was looking forward to, kind of, seeing if I could find any reason or and kind of explaining it to everyone else and to you and to but there isn't one reason. There isn't one reason. There isn't one it is sad when I think about it, 'cause I mean, like, when you brought up the Maryland games that we all went to, me and Rico, and I mean, like, those are like some of my favorite memories, but I noticed after I left Towson was probably when it began to dwindle, for one reason or the other. I don't, maybe it's because I think, that's one of the good things about school, and why I think why I do enjoy college, and I think, there should continue to be that kind of, education, is because you're around all these people, and like, they like sports, and and they like college stuff, and they're and I think after I left Towson, I like, I didn't see people every day, but like before, like, I didn't, there wasn't any bragging, or I mean, as many bragging rights, and I think I do think that has something to do with it. But I said, let's see. I said, same with fantasy football, except for the 1 year that Jordan's family had me join. I think back in 2016, I haven't done fantasy since my Towson days. And actually, I actually gave an example of a reason that I'm actually sad, is because, as you said, I used to be really into, probably more the college basketball than college football, but I always knew, the players and teams that were, that were important and everything. But back in 2009 and 2010, I had people over to watch either, I think it was like the Elite Eight or Final Four. I had Ryan over. I had my friend Christian. I think even Jamal from the YMCA came over for one of those, I believe, or maybe it was that, maybe it was something else he came over for. And I have some videos from back in the day of down in our basement, and we are and. This is this is before Ryan had the diabetes and everything, and we had the energy drinks, and we were there was some video where we comment about Kentucky being like 0 of 20 from 3-point range, and we're like mad at them. We're like, Kentucky can't hit a shot, like, why, like, we're just like, two kids just enjoying the game, and it was it's so joyful to look back at that moment, to look back at those moments. And but I don't, as I said, I don't think he's into a college either as much. I remember actually back in, at HCC, it was exciting. Well, as I said, like, those last 2 years, and actually, I think there were some games, like, happening during the day when, of college basketball, and I was, we were following that. And then there was actually when I was at Towson, when I won my first iPad, and I had the NCAA tournament app on my iPad. I know there were times where I, like, you could tell. I think it might have been Dr. Vass's class, or there was a class where, like, we were trying to, like, I think there was like a noon game or like a 3 p.m. game, and like, you would tell people were kind of sneaking on their phones or computers and trying to watch these games. And it was just, it was just fun. I mean, like, everyone loved March Madness, it was, but I don't really have as many friends that are into it as, I mean, I have people that I know are into it, but not, I mean, like, Ryan's not really even into, like, even into football as much. I mean, he'll come over, but I mean, he's not into as football as he once was. And so I don't really have anybody who I can really invite over to watch things. I do have you and Uncle Tim and whatnot, so I might have to stick with you guys. But I do think, but there are a couple of reasons that there are a couple of things that I'm actually trying to, I want to get back into college sports, and that's why, for people who are listening to this today, or that's why I said I wanted to go over and watch the Terps game with you tonight, because I want to, I want to get back into it, like I enjoyed, and I made a list of some of these, some of these random Marylanders who I used to really enjoy seeing play, not just Juan Dixon, but I have DJ Strawberry, Nick Cannor-Medley, James Gist, John Gilchrist, Mosley, Terrell Stoglin, Vasquez, I mean, all these names that were like burned into my brain, and it was sad to not see some of these guys actually make it in the league. I think a couple there's but there's some hope. I think one, I'm gonna really try to enjoy watching this game with you tonight. And also, I don't know if I'm gonna get it, but it's definitely intriguing. Is the in the next couple of years there actually is gonna be a new college football game coming out. And they, I don't know if they're gonna have player names. I don't know what the deal is, but somehow they were able to get a deal struck where they're gonna be where they can get the NCAA licensing for a full video game. And I know a lot of people are excited about that. And so there's some things I think will hopefully put my interest up. Also, getting a 4K TV, I think will change things. It'll look it'll look better. But yeah, that's one of the things that's that's been tough, and I hope I can get back. Now, will I get back to my, my peak sport, peak college fandom? I don't know, but I hope to get, some kind of fandom back
Okay, good,
with
good.
college sports.
Well, you mentioned video games just briefly a moment ago, so it's kind of bringing us to our next topics because you've been buying video games as long as you've been watching sports games, and you started with the Nintendo 64 and moved on from there. And obviously, you mentioned that you'd had a hockey video game for a while, and you had, of course, you've had football, and you've had basketball and baseball, and I think he even had a boxing game there for a while. So, I guess the question I have
Yep.
is, do you have a favorite sports game, or let me put it this way: maybe you have a favorite now, but maybe it wasn't always your favorite. So, how's your thinking and your enjoyment of sports games kind of evolved over the past 25 years that you've been doing it?
Yeah, well,
Well,
wow, it has been 25
not
years?
quite, but at least
That's
20, at
insane.
least 20, I'll say.
Yeah, I was gonna say I can't be 20. I'll say, yeah, 20 probably, yeah. Well, one thing I want to say is that we have about probably 18 minutes left. Cause you can record up to 60 minutes in each thing, so I want to kind of, maybe see if I can get through this part quickly. But yes, I actually say that probably the I would say that probably like along with college sports, I think the sports my video game playing has kind of also kind of dwindled a little bit. But that's not because of any, of any reason. It's just because I have more things I enjoy now. Like before there wasn't many, all these streaming services, are out, and maybe so instead of playing a Madden game, I'll watch Netflix or HBO or something like that. So, but I keep up with all three of the major sports games, Madden, NBA 2K, and MLB The Show. I would say, as far as playing, I mean, I think if you're playing with others, I think Madden is it still it is still fun. I know the game has gotten a lot of hate online of the last couple of years. There's a lot of gameplay issues and whatnot. But I've tried to actually stay away from that actually as of late because I like to play these games for fun. And I mean, yeah, I'll notice some things. I mean, some things are not fun and. You see like an animation that appears to be happening too many times and it's ruining the game. Yeah, it'll bother you, but you shouldn't let that take in a take
Right,
you away
right.
from the experience. And also I feel like Madden has probably gotten a bump in of course as with Ravens fans now that we have Lamar Jackson. So and I don't know if you're aware, but the best football a video game player of probably all time. Well, people say it was Bo Jackson in the Tecmo Bowl games. I never played that, so I can't say that. But Everyone talked about Michael Vick in Madden 2004. He was unstoppable. And actually, Lamar Jackson last year actually just got a higher rating than him in speed rating. So he actually is now faster than Michael Vick was back in 2004. But if you played that game, you could basically get 20 yards every time with Vick. With Lamar, it's, you know, it's not as unbeatable, but you can still tell he's fast in certain instances. I think if you're in it for the graphics, I think NBA 2K is probably the best with graphics. And I'll say once I get the 4K TV, which will happen soon, it will look even better because the most of these PS5 games are rendered in 4K. So, you know, while you notice some differences, you know, in these games that, you know, year to year, but you know, when there's more pixels to play with, you know, you can really get higher definition stuff. And, so I think the basketball game will look even better. And I think MLB The Show is probably the best for like realistic gameplay. NBA is too, but but I think the baseball game is probably first in there. It's just, you know, the graphics are a tick behind 2K, but I think the gameplay experience, you know, you can really get like a legit gameplay, like almost like a real baseball game in MLB The Show. What did I say here? I'll let you go into the next one, but I kind of already answered it, but I'll let you
in. I think you already answered it, actually.
Well, I didn't really. My next purchase will be MLB 21 The Show for the PS5. I'm not sure when I'll get it. It comes out the 20th of April, but I don't know if I'll get it immediately. I have been getting games later now, and now with the PS5, I have the digital only version, which costs $100 less. And I don't need discs, you know. I have some the discs from the past. But I have my PS4 still plugged in as a DVD player. So if I need DVDs, I still have that hooked up. So, Yeah. So that'll be the next
person. Well, you know, video games are continually becoming more and more realistic. But you know, the next phase is come along now, which is virtual and augmented reality. And I got this vision of a few years from now being able to get in the huddle with the Ravens as they're going into the huddle, and maybe actually getting out on the field and scoring a touchdown or shooting some hoops with some of the key basketball players or doing some other things. So I know that you've started playing around over the past couple of years with virtual reality and augmented reality. And what are your thoughts? Where do you think it's going? Because, you know, the processors and the technology, 5G, of course, is coming along now. And there's other types of technology are just going to make this more and more reality, because it'll have faster bandwidth, less latency, and better ability from a processing standpoint to really produce realistic conditions. And, you know, I think this is the area where not only sports gaming, but even watching an event is going to become more and more of a reality of some sort. So what are your thoughts?
Well, that's actually the only question that I did not get to type up any notes for, but so I'll kind of wing this one. But you know, I think with regards to live sports, I think that experience may be a little bit longer or a little bit further out than we think. I know with the VR stuff, I know because I was looking at possibly getting the Quest 2. The Oculus Quest 2, which is a little upgrade from the Oculus Go that I have, but it can do more things and it can play more games and whatnot. And I thought it could actually play, because I see some people playing like actual video games and everything, like playing like there's a Walking Dead game, there's a Blair Witch Project game, which actually. There's also a version for the PS4 and PS5, which I've been intrigued to get, just because, you know,
right.
You know, the Blair Witch, but But what I didn't realize is that those games actually are not on the Oculus Store. You actually have to do what you would do with the other with some of those older generation of VR players, and you have to plug it into a PC and get the games on there. Because nowadays, because what Oculus is trying to do is they're trying to do like the hands-free stuff. And what I've seen is that they do have some cool games and whatnot, but and like you can watch Netflix and Amazon and whatnot, but to get those top of the tier games, you still have to plug it into a PC. And that's where I kind of think, okay, well, does that mean? So my guess is that the processing power in these devices isn't strong enough yet, and you still have to connect to a stronger device like a PC. So, I know you talk about 5G, and that will definitely be implemented into some of these things I would expect. But because you cannot you cannot play a retail legit video game on these wireless devices, tells me that a lot of the stuff is probably further away than we think. I mean, I'll say maybe like 10 years, maybe, but not not in the next year or so. I think AR and VR, and there's a lot now. This is not really sports related, but Apple is working on a couple devices. They're working on like a mixed reality device, and I believe they're working on an augmented reality device. One is going to be more expensive to toward the non-consumers, and then one will be for consumers. That will be like maybe like the $300 range or something like that. And so I'm just really excited for that technology in general. I think as I was showing you some footage of this of the Microsoft Flight Simulator not too long ago. Now I can't play that on any device I have right now, but it looks gorgeous. And you would love to have an augmented reality or no, I guess it'll be virtual reality, I guess.
Right.
Because it wouldn't be in real life. It would be but you could like view some but you could like kind of have your own world view, and you could like go visit these places in virtual reality. You could see like the pyramids, the the Grand Canyon, and so while I don't know where viewing live sports will be, that I think is further down the road, but I do think the technology in general is it's up and coming, and I think there's a lot of hype for it, and I'm
Yeah, I
excited for
am
the
too.
future
I
of
think it's
that.
going to be
So
very interesting, and it's going to create some really neat types of applications and other things that we can do with that. We'll see how it goes over the last over the next few years. It's certainly been exciting over the last 10 years where we've seen the technology go. It's just been really amazing to see how much better these games and watching has become. So, anyhow.
yeah, and once you get one of the newer iPhones, I can show you some augmented reality stuff. Because I don't think your phone can. Well, maybe it can, but I know like there's something called a LiDAR sensor on the in some of these new 12 phones that can actually help with AR, that can make it more accurate. And so yeah, I think I mean like technology and sports is just
Yep.
Is getting better and better. So, but I think we should wrap things up here, because I know with this app you can, I mean you can have podcasts that are longer, but you can only record I think 60 minutes at a time. So we have about like 6 minutes left. So is there any last question you want to ask me, or any
No, I don't think so. It's
any parting
been fun
shots?
doing that. Of course, sports is something that you and I have bonded on for a long time together, and we've had some really good times together, father and son, going to different sporting events and things like that. So it's been a pleasure doing this podcast. There's a lot more sports questions I have to ask you that we can't get into this podcast, but maybe you and I can have another podcast or even a couple more podcasts where we can drill down more on some of these topics in another venue. So.
I would love to, I mean, I actually want to do a consistent, like I want to be more consistent with this, so yeah, I mean, like if you have like different topics we could do weekly or something like that, I would love to do that. That'd be fun, and because now it's so easy to get someone on here, I mean, I could, we could do like I believe on this app it said you can have like up to four people. So, you know, we can have like a three-man pod if you want to, you know, like me, you, and Tim, or sir. Well, you know, I don't know.
Right,
We'll
right.
see, you
No,
know,
I think it'd be
to be
fun.
continued,
All
but
right. Well, it's great talking with you, Tone, and
yeah.
we'll see you for the Maryland game in a little bit.
Yep.
Okay,
All
sounds
right. I'll see you
good. See ya.
soon, and let's get this thing uploaded.
Yep.